session today. So I'm going to speak today about a health IT capacity building project we undertook to leverage electronic health record data to improve and augment the HIV surveillance registry in New York State. While I am the person fortunate enough to travel to Boise, this presentation is very much the work of a group of people, of my collaborators, none of whom could be here today. They are the technical experts here. I'm not. I'm the surveillance sort of subject matter expert. So here's a brief outline of what I'm going to be speaking about. And I'll begin first with describing the impetus for the project. While historically HIV surveillance data have been primarily used to monitor trends in diagnoses and prevalence, in recent years there's been a pretty marked shift in terms of interest in using surveillance data more actively, using surveillance data in support of the National HIV AIDS Strategy, in creating the HIV care continuums or cascades, or for real-time public health action to actively identify and link patients who have fallen out of care back to HIV-related medical care. As such, cleaner and more timely surveillance data are critical, particularly data that describes where people are currently living and not just where they lived at the time of diagnosis. The National HIV/AIDS Strategy encourages states to use electronic health record data to enhance public health data systems. Funding for this project came from HRSA, or came to New York State from HRSA, in the form of a three-year capacity building, health IT capacity building project. Funding ends in September, so we're really nearing the end of funding. The Bureau of HIV/AIDS Epidemiology and the New York State Department of Health AIDS Institute worked closely with the New York State Office of Information Technology Services, our state ITS overlords. We have a consolidated IT model in New York State now. And HealthX, which is the largest health information exchange organization in New York State. HealthX primarily serves members in the New York City and Long Island region, so it's the seven counties of the state in which most New Yorkers living with diagnosed infection live. That's where our highest morbidity is. HealthX covers 1,500 facilities and has over 16 million patients in their HIE. So not to steal my own thunder, but you will hear that this has very much been a work in progress with fits and starts and stops along the way. So the overall goal of the project has been to enhance our ability to monitor and to ultimately improve treatment and retention and care outcomes for persons with diagnosed HIV infection. More detailed key objectives are listed on this slide. Broadly speaking, the objectives were to support the creation of an automated data feed from HealthX to the State Health Department that augments the registry with new information. For example, detailed antiretroviral prescription treatment information is not typically collected by surveillance system, but there's great interest in those data. Secondly, the automated data field would provide data to identify and to quantify suspected gaps in reporting. For example, by comparing the electronic laboratory reporting that comes to the State Health Department to the laboratory reports that show up in the EHR or the HIE data stream, we may be able to detect gaps in reporting. And finally, these data should enable us to identify opportunities to locate out-of-care patients who are accessing non-HIV-related medical care and help link them to care based on the information around that encounter. Just to be clear, this is not a project around initial electronic case reporting, as has been discussed at several sessions so far at this conference. Our interest is in the longitudinal and ongoing data for persons with diagnosed infection. So we had initially planned to receive consolidated continuity of care documents for identified patients. We understood pretty early in the process that receiving a new CCD every time a patient had a new encounter or some change to the medical record would create an overwhelmingly large amount of redundant data. So we worked with HealthX to develop an HL7 message that would contain updated information. For both data formats, the data are transmitted securely to the state via Universal Public Health Node, UPHN Lite, which is monitored by OITS. This is a push from HealthX. It is not a pull from the state ITS system. Given our focus on persons with diagnosed HIV infection, our interest was with only certain sections of the CCD. These are highlighted in bold. We collaborated with HealthX to develop an algorithm based on ICD-9-10 coding and text-based information to identify HIV-diagnosed patients. We had hoped to also leverage prescription drug codes, but learned that HealthX was contractually prohibited by their prescription EHR vendor from sharing prescription data with a third party, and that included us. So the drug information is just off the table for this project. We'd also hoped to leverage the lab or LOINC coding that is in most EHR systems, but this wasn't consistently coded and could not be leveraged systematically for this project. So our trigger codes are based on diagnostic codes and text diagnosis information. Updates are sent via an HL7 message. And finally, we also negotiated what we refer to as an expiration file. It's a data file that contains real-time death information. We receive that monthly, and it was determined that a separate file would be the most expeditious way for us to receive that information, because as you can imagine, that's really important for a data-to-care type investigation or prioritizing those investigations. Year one of the project was spent establishing the legal agreements and the technical solutions for data transfers. The first CCD started flowing in year two, though because of the volume of patients identified by the algorithm, the data had to be staged over many, many weeks. All told, New York State received an initial CCD for over 55,000 patients meeting the specific trigger criteria. So the criteria designed to identify people with a diagnosis of HIV. And this represents a capture of all of HealthX's active patient population with these trigger codes. 45,000 of those CCDs, or 82%, matched to a person known to the HIV surveillance system. This relatively low match rate really surprised us. We expected much closer to 95 or 98%, like we get when we match to other sources of data that have near certainty of HIV diagnosis or HIV confirmation. I'll explain more in a minute. Of the 45,000 CCDs that did match, 78% matched to a CDC-defined confirmed case. That is a case record that had all of the required information for reporting. 3% of the matching CCDs were known to surveillance but lacked sufficient confirmatory evidence of HIV diagnosis. Mostly, they didn't have the right combination of laboratory data. Just under 200 matched to a case, but the registry lacked key identifying or key variables required by CDC, primarily race and ethnicity, to fully count the case. 10,000 CCDs, or 18% of the total, did not match to anyone we knew about. In investigating these, we discovered that the CCDs that we had received from HealthX did not contain any of the diagnostic or trigger codes that were used to pull them from HealthX. So therefore, we were completely unable to verify if these patients had been pulled in error or if they represented a huge gap in the surveillance system. It took several months. It took quite some time for HealthX to figure out what went wrong in the creation of those CCDs. And then it took nearly 3 months for them to transmit to us those corrected CCD documents. We actually just finished receiving them earlier this year in March. We continue to work on analyzing those data, but have determined that a sizable fraction of the non-matching CCDs had diagnostic coding errors in the original EHR and are not HIV-related. For example, one provider was reporting an ocular condition using an HIV-specific ICD-9 code. In a typical week, we are receiving between 100 and 150 CCDs for newly identified patients in the HealthX systems. As I mentioned earlier, we receive updates in an HL7 format, and so far we've received nearly 4 million updates. four CCDs that we've received. OITS, our state ITS system, was not able to commit to parsing those HL7 messages, so we took that on and built a parser in-house. I'm saying we, but I can guarantee you I had nothing to do with it. And our current work with the HL7 updates involves continuing to identify and parse sections of interest, linking those matched CCD surveillance records to the associated parsed update messages, and incorporating relevant information into the registry. The patient expiration file is received and processed monthly. We do not currently receive cause of death information. Death information has been received for 357 patients with an initial CCD transmitted, and most of these death reports matched to a confirmed case, allowing us to update vital status in the registry much closer in time to the actual occurrence of death than we typically are able to when we do the death matches that we do. This has helped to reduce the caseload of the data to care staff, who spend much less time chasing out of care patients who are in fact deceased. I'll finish up by reviewing some of our key findings. First, the good news. Completeness of identifying demographic and patient residential address in the CCD or the HL7 update is generally quite high, upwards of 90%. However, adherence to the national coding standards for the collection of critical variables was quite poor. In particular, there were substantial problems with the reporting of race and ethnicity, variables that are required for us to count a case for CDC. Though the variable race was populated for most records, only 3% conformed to OMB or meaningful use reporting standards. We're still building facility-specific crosswalks for those data. Also, the lack of use or the misuse of lab and diagnostic coding standards, the LOINC, the ICD-910 codes, was very common. At times, we had to do very manual facility-specific recoding of local fields to standard codes. The problem isn't with HealthX per se. It really starts with that originating EHR that's not coded using the standards, and HealthX was just passing along all of those non-standard local codes. We have worked with HealthX regarding mapping those local lab codes to LOINCs. We felt that standard was particularly important because this is a capacity building project where we're supposed to have a sustainable model going forward after September. This did require additional money in the contract for HealthX, and it's a good thing we had some carry forward money to do that. Where populated and when populated correctly, CCDs do contain data that can be leveraged to augment public health reporting. Using HealthX data, we were able to make complete for CDC case counting several hundred surveillance records using the identifying and demographic information, mostly the race and ethnicity that we were able to pull from the data. Additionally, we were able to update current address for those tens of thousands of matches. Those 45,000 matched CCDs had current address information that we could pull into the registry. The ongoing stream of current residential address has been critically important in directing out-of-care investigations. Using the address from HealthX, we now know that 8% of the purportedly out-of-care patients who have a matching HealthX CCD or HL7 data point are in fact no longer living in New York State. We have a confirmed out-of-state recent address for these people. Additionally, we have new leads for New Yorkers with diagnosed HIV infection who have no evidence of HIV care in New York State, but they do have some other contact with the medical system. That information is a lead for our partner services staff to identify them for out-of-care investigations and relinkage. Also, the HealthX data provided appreciably more timely death reporting, death ascertainment. Because both of these, the address and the death information, we are able to better prioritize the scarce public health resources by focusing on a reduced number of HIV diagnosed and purportedly out of care patients, because we strongly believe that those who are left really are in New York State and are probably living, at least based on the data that we have to this point. I'll end with summarizing some lessons learned and some challenges. Though automated use of EHR and HIE data has great potential to augment public health surveillance and focus data-to-care activities, the unreliable adherence to national coding standards is a limiting factor. Critical data quality and completeness issues, even with something as basic as a diagnostic code that's not constantly or consistently populated or populated according to national agreed-upon standards, is also a limiting factor. Additionally, the sheer volume of data was taxing on all systems. There was a real cost to the transfer and processing of this much data. Our ITS overlords were very unhappy with us at times. There also are real limitations to the salaries that can be afforded by public health. These limitations severely affected the stability of staffing, as well as the depth and technical skill and experience available with the recruitments that were required for this project. In less than 3 years, this project has seen an awful lot of staff transitions. I am the third principal investigator of this project in New York State. We've had 5 HRSA project officers in less than 3 years. We are on our 4th OITS, or state ITS liaison, and on our 6th, we got a new one last week, our 6th HealthX technical lead. It simply costs more to hire and retain staff with this skill set, and public health, at least right now, does not, at least in New York State, have those resources, and that's a critical limitation. And then finally, this is brand new. We learned about this one about 2 weeks ago. HealthX realized that they were in violation of SAMHSA CFR 42 Part 2, which prohibits someone from sharing behavioral and mental health substance use data without patient consent. Well, we never consent to anything for public health, right? Well, HealthX shut down all the data feeds. We've not gotten any data from HealthX for the last 2 weeks. They've shut down access to patient portals while they recode their systems and establish new filters. Probably the most important issue for us right now, we expect data is going to start flowing Tuesday of this week, is that the way that HealthX has configured certain facilities in their data means that we're not going to get any data from them until they can somehow isolate the behavioral and mental health parts of the larger facilities from all the other data. And that represents several huge reporters in New York City.
Thank you.